it was so, so nice just to be able to sleep in your bed, you know, and not eat hospital food, and we could sleep on
that glorious applesauce.
Yeah, I could eat when I was in labor. That was the other thing. Yeah, I could eat things.
Welcome to the Happy Home Birth Podcast, your source for positive natural childbirth stories and your community of support, education, and encouragement in all things home birth and motherhood.
What happens when becoming pregnant goes from being quick and easy to long, emotional, and difficult? Hey there, happy home birthers, and welcome to this week's episode of the Happy Home Birth Podcast. I'm your host, Caitlin Fusco, and today we're speaking with Shyla Brown, a mother of four babes, three of whom were born at home. We'll walk through Shyla's experiences of pregnancy, which range from fast and unexpected to long-awaited, while she struggled with secondary infertility. Shyla will share what she learned from that experience and the pelvic therapy that made such a massive difference for her. And for those of you who are interested, that information is in the show notes, so be sure to check it out. Now, Shyla was a student of mine inside of the Home Birth Collective while she prepared for her fourth baby. While she'd already had three births under her belt, Shyla knew that she wanted to re-enter birth and motherhood differently, more sacredly this time around. And that's where the Home Birth Collective came in. If you're looking to prepare for both your home birth and the deep foundations of your sacred motherhood experience, I hope you will join me inside of the HBC. The link is in the show notes, and you can use the code PODCAST for 10% off at checkout. Okay, let's jump into this episode. Please remember that the opinions of my guest may not necessarily reflect my own and vice versa. And this show is not medical advice, it's an educational tool. So continue to take empowered responsibility for your health and your family. Shyla, thank you so much for coming on the Happy Home Birth Podcast.
Hi, I'm excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you. I'm excited to have you. I'm excited to have Ulysses here. It is so much fun getting to reconnect with my students. So thank you for being here. Would you mind taking just a moment to introduce yourself and your family to the listeners?
Sure. So my name is Shyla. I am in North Central Wisconsin. And my husband and I met in college, got married years later after that meeting initially, and we have four kids now, two boys and two girls, and it is crazy. Oh, and a puppy. So
I love how you guys added that puppy in right after the baby. It's like, why not? Let's just add a puppy.
You're right. It's like a fifth child right now. But yeah, we've had three home births. Our first was in the hospital, and it's funny, we've lived in Wisconsin and Texas, but all four of our kids have been born in Wisconsin, so that's kind of a little fun fact.
Cool. Well, let's start at the beginning. So what was your first pregnancy experience like?
So the first pregnancy with our daughter, McCall, was, for lack of a better word, unplanned. she was not meant to happen. You know, as soon as she did, my husband and I, like I said, we had met in college. We had dated for a few years off and on. It didn't work out then. We both went our separate ways. Funnily enough, he got engaged to somebody else. I got engaged to somebody else. And neither of those relationships worked out. So then we reconnected. It was New Year's of 2014. We reconnected and got engaged in September. I moved from Montana to Wisconsin in November, and we found out we were pregnant with McCall January of 2015. So it was very much a whirlwind, but we kind of were in that mindset like, okay, we're doing this, you know, super short engagement. We were already planning our wedding. We ended up doing a courthouse wedding 8 days before McCall was born. Because we had been talking about it, and we were like, okay, we just need to get this done. Like, and so we finally did. I've got my wedding picture, the big old belly, and him in his suit. Like, it's super cute. I love it. it was a great day. But yeah, and she was born in hospital in La Crosse, where we were living. And, you know, everything was fine. It wasn't, like, pregnancy was great. I love being pregnant. Hence, probably why, that's why we have four kids. I really enjoy it. I've stayed active through all of them. With hers, you know, it was all the new mom things, like learning what to do, what not to do. Very typical, you know, had that mindset, oh, I'm pregnant, you go see an OB. Not really no understanding or knowing what all of my options were, that you didn't have to do that. But just kind of going with that, had a, you know, great OB. She was fine. But, you know, looking back, it's like, you know, 10-minute appointments is all. You don't really get to ask a lot of questions or whatnot. I was a little disappointed because I had wanted a water birth. That was one thing I knew from the beginning. I was like, I want to have a water birth. And at this hospital, they were allowing them. They said it was some sort of study through, I don't know, some governing body, you know, that they were like, yes, we have these big old labor tubs. You can labor and deliver in these tubs. And I'm like, great, perfect. That's what I want to do. 2 weeks before my due date, they lost that accreditation and said, nope, no more. You can't birth in a tub. You can labor in a tub, but you are not allowed to birth in the water.
Oh, wow. What a bummer.
Right. I was a little disheartened, to say the least. So that was kind of a, okay, you know, a little bit of a letdown.
It's kind of funny, like this idea of like, oh, we had this accreditation to allow mothers right. to give birth in water. Like now yes. we can't allow you to do this. Like, okay.
Yep. Yeah, they were very strict. They were like, we know you said you wanted water birth and you can labor, but you cannot deliver this baby in the water. And I'm like, in the back of my mind, I'm like, why?
2 weeks ago, it was fine, but now it's very yes. dangerous.
But now it's Gosh. Dangerous. Yes. Mm-hmm. So I ended up going 40-3 with her, which is, you know, pretty stereotypical for a first-time mom. You know, I did have an induction date on the books for 41 weeks and whatnot, which is crazy now because now it's like 39 weeks that they're putting inductions on the books. So I guess that was kind of an indicator of changing times. But went into labor at home. Like I woke up, it was middle of the night, about 3 a.m. And I was like, oh, it's happening. This is, you know, things are happening. I let my husband sleep. Probably about 7 a.m. we called the hospital and they were like, okay, go ahead and shower, get some breakfast, and then come in. We went in probably about 9 o'clock, 9:30 that morning. And of course, as soon as you get into triage and get checked in, my contractions like went from like 3 minutes apart to like 7, 10, 11 minutes apart. And they were like, well, so they did a cervical check. They're like, you're 4 centimeters. So I guess you can stay. So they checked me in and then we just started walking all up and down the halls, trying to get things going, bouncing on balls, everything like that. I did try to labor in one of the pools because I did get one of the labor and delivery rooms that had the big tubs. Hated it. Absolutely hated it. But it was like, you know, it's like a bathtub. So it was hard, yeah. hard plastic. And I wanted to kneel and be over. And it was hurting my knees too much. I was like, no, I don't want to do this.
Yeah, those do not seem comfortable to me.
No, I would think unless you put like a towel in mm-hmm. or something. Like, yeah, it was not comfortable at all. So got out. I had every intention of being natural. You know, I knew I did not want an epidural. I've just was like, that's just not something that I want. And we got to the point we got 12 hours into labor and I was struggling like 12 hours at the hospital. I was struggling. I was like, okay, you know, mentally I was not prepared for it. And I was like, I need some sort of relief. And, you know, my husband, bless him, he's like, are you sure? You know, you said you didn't want anything. And they're like, well, we can do a spinal block. You know, you say you don't want an epidural, we can do a spinal block. That'll give you a little bit of a rest. And I said, okay, well, let's do that. I got about an hour and a half rest. Got to eat some applesauce, you know, after I've been through this. But unfortunately, then that meant I had an IV and I had to stay on my back. So that was not super ideal. That, like I said, that went away about an hour and a half later. I remember my OB ended up being on call. So I guess that was nice. I didn't have someone that I didn't know. She was actually the one who delivered McCall. So I knew who was there and who was handling everything. She comes in, she does a cervical check. She's like, you're at 9. She's like, let's break your water. And that'll speed things up. Again, hindsight is 20/20. Looking back, I'm like, that's not necessary. But, you know, I was like, okay, you know, just not doing my best with what I knew. And so she broke my water. Things started to pick up. Like I said, that spinal block wore off. I'm really glad that it did because I wanted to be able to feel how to push. And I wanted to, you know, be aware of everything that was happening with my body. And ended up pushing on my back, of course, because I had that spinal block. So then you become a fall risk, you know. So you can't really do a whole heck of a lot else. But did push her. I pushed for maybe about, I think my husband said it was about 20 minutes is all. She came out right to my chest. You know, the hospital we were at, they had classified their labor and delivery as a birthing center, you know. And so they were very open to natural things and whatnot. So I never felt pressured to get like an epidural or, you know, any kind of pain management like that. You know, she never left me. They put her right on my chest. She never left my side, which was great. They cleaned her up there, you know, except to go weigh her and whatnot, cut the cord. I did tear a little bit, so I did have to get stitched up. And then about midnight. She was born about, what time was she born? She was born about 9 o'clock, I want to say. And about midnight, we were finally in our recovery room. And then, you know, they're coming in every hour to check your vitals, you know, wake you up. So we left as soon as we could. About 36 hours was when they finally said we could leave, which is crazy that we need permission to leave with our child. Yes. But yeah, went home and yeah, we were excited. So no issues postpartum with her, nothing like that. But that was our one and only hospital experience. And I'm really glad that was our only one. So, yeah.
Well, it sounds like, you know, all things considered, you feel good about that birth. So I am curious to know how this second one played out that caused you to go for something else.
Yeah, I just started becoming more curious when in looking into more holistic things. I had done prenatal yoga the entire time, my first pregnancy, and my prenatal yoga instructor was actually a lactation consultant for the hospital that I gave birth at. So I developed a really good relationship with her. And then both of my daughters, so McCall and then our second was a girl as well, they were both breech. And I had been a breech baby. My brother was a breech baby. And so I was like, okay, how do we were both C-section, but I was like, okay, we got to flip this kid. So I ended up going to a chiropractor doing the Webster method, got both of the girls to flip. And I think after those two things, and then getting more into my breastfeeding journey, I was like, okay, there's something different here. Like, there's more than what you have been taught or told. So like I said, I was a C-section baby. My mom breastfed me for 3 months and then, you know, it was rice cereal in the bottle and then formula, you know, and all those things. And I remember I was like, my goal is 6 months to breastfeed McCall. And here we are. She'll be 8 this fall. And I've been continuously breastfeeding this entire time since she was born. So, you know, So it was just, okay, things, there's other things out there. And I was talking to my chiropractor, you know, because I was holding on to that. I want a water birth. Like, that is what I want. And we planned our second. It was kind of funny. So we got married at the courthouse, but we had planned a wedding in Montana with friends and family and my pretty dress and all of that. So that was August of 2016. And then I was like, all right, let's start trying. let's go for another one. Like, this is so much fun. Let's go for another one. And my husband was like, okay, you know, it only took us 2 months to become pregnant with our second. Yeah, so very quickly, we're like, okay, the first one was quick and easy. The second one's quick and easy. Great. And she was due in June of 2017. We were planning for her. And, you know, at that point, like, I hadn't fully looked into the area of, you know, okay, are there doulas? Are there home birth midwives? Like, I hadn't gotten to that point yet. So I just went right back to the same hospital, to the same OB. You know, didn't have any, oh, do you need to nurse? I didn't have any qualms or, you know, didn't feel like it wasn't a safe environment or whatnot. But yeah, I just still had that nagging in the back of my mind. And Gretchen, our second daughter, she was also breached. She was transverse too for a long time. And it was finally at my 30-week appointment. My OB, you know, wheeled in the portable ultrasound and she's like, let's see where baby's at. Cause you know, they're like, your first one was breached for so long. This one is breached. Let's see where they're at. And at 30 weeks she was head down. And I remember I left that appointment and I was coaching middle school track at that time too, in the community. And I had gone straight from my appointment to practice. And I just remember before I left my car to go out into the field to coach. I called my husband and I was like, she's head down. We're doing a home birth. I'm going to find a midwife. And he was like, okay.
I'm sorry. Could you take 2 steps back, please?
Right. And I was like, I was like, I'm at practice. We'll talk when I get home. It took some convincing, not a whole heck of a lot though. On his part, I think because where we lived, we were like not even 3 minutes from the hospital. So if anything were to go wrong or whatnot, that was his thinking. The hospital is literally right there. And I had also watched The Business of Being Born. So that was also, that was the first time I had watched that documentary. And so that was also another precursor that I was like, okay, we're getting out of the hospital. I called and I knew time, it was time sensitive. So I was 30 weeks. And on top of that, we were moving to Houston, Texas, right after she was, so her due date was June 10th and we were supposed to move end of June to Houston, Texas, because my husband got into law school and we sold our house. We were closing on the house in Texas and, you know, needed to make deadlines. So let's just add that on top of things.
We got to have a stressful move in one pregnancy. Like it's,
we do. It's It is. We have to have multiple big life events, it seems. And so I was like, okay, I need to find someone. I called a couple that were really local to the area. Both of them were booked. It's not that they wouldn't take me. They were just like, we just don't have any availability because I didn't have any issues, no concerns or whatnot with my pregnancy. Ended up finding a midwife team an hour away and they were like, yeah, we'll take you in. And after our first visit, I was like, I'm sold. Like, that's it. Like, why would you ever go back to the hospital? Allison and Heather were fantastic. My husband came to that first appointment too, because he was still doing undergrad stuff. So he had some time and he was able to come and he was like, okay, I feel good. Like, this is fine. We can do this. But then of course with due dates and how not accurate they are. And I had a doula this time too. I had found a doula. She was a BirthFit professional. So I've done a lot of with the BirthFit organization. And that's how I got into that, was through her. And I was due June 10th. Gretchen did not arrive until June 17th. So 1 week completely past her due date, my doula was running a half marathon in Duluth, Minnesota. My Heather from the midwife duo was on vacation with her kids, like at Yellowstone. So it was Allison and her assistant, you know, it was like, and then we had boxes everywhere. Boxes are everywhere in our house because we are moving. We moved 9 days after she was born. So we were like in the throes of packing and whatnot. And we set up our birth pool in our dining room in our house, moved the table out. It was an old like craftsman house, so everything was pretty sectioned off. And oh, and our bedroom was upstairs, and there was nowhere upstairs to put the birth pool because the rooms were smaller. So that's why we opted for downstairs. And then the plan was for me to go to the couch immediately after birth. So it was, again, it was middle of the night, about 2 a.m. I wake up with contractions. I start, you know, I go downstairs. I'm just on the couch. I've got some soothing music going. I'm just getting into the zone. And about 5 a.m., McCall wakes up. And she is 20 months old at this time. So our girls are 20 months apart and our boys are 20 months apart. And so she wakes up and I'm thinking, I cannot have you awake at 5 a.m. right now while I am trying to get through this labor. Like, this is not okay. So I end up going upstairs to her room. She just had like a mattress on, like a full-size mattress on the floor. And I started nursing her back to sleep because I was like, that's what she wants. If, when I tell you those are the most intense contractions I have ever experienced in my life, let's just say that definitely picked up labor quite a bit, but I was surprised. I got her back to sleep. I was able to breathe through them and stay calm enough that she just went right back to sleep. It was about 6 a.m. then, and my contractions were, you know, getting much closer together. And so I wake up my husband and I was like, okay, I'm going to call Allison and see what she thinks. And he's like all groggy, like, oh, okay, okay. I call her and she's like, okay, go take a shower. She's like, you know, keep timing your contractions. If they start to pick up after your shower, let me know. So I tell my husband, I'm like, okay, I'm going to hop in the shower. I need you to time these like for me. I'll let you know when they start and when they stop and whatnot. And, yes. Okay. I got to get your brother. And by the time I got out of the shower, they went from like, 7 minutes apart to about 3 minutes apart. And so I called Allison back and she's like, okay, I'm on my way. Go ahead and get the birth pool set up, you know? And so we had already done a trial run with the birth pool. So my husband was a pro. He got it set up. I think I took, this is the other thing. I wish I had had a birth photographer. I didn't get one until my last two, but I think I got 2 pictures from that entire experience. But yeah, it was progressing very quickly. Allison showed up with her assistant. She did one cervical check to see where I was at, and she was like, okay, you can get in the tub. She just wanted to make sure I was far enough along to get in the tub without having, you know, slowing it down. It was about 8:30 at this point. I got in the tub. And by 10:40, Gretchen was here. So it went pretty quickly. Had her in the birth pool. I was kneeling, you know, over the edge of the birth pool. They pulled her out and put her on the small of my back is how they pulled her out to, check her. And then they made sure my cord was long enough. And they were like, help me like flip a leg over so I could turn over. And then hold her. And yeah, then we, you know, were there for a little bit and moved to the couch and just had that skin to skin the whole time. And, you know, they were in the background, Allison and her assistant were in the background cleaning everything up, you know, all the things that they do. And it was just so much better, like just so much more calm, so much more peaceful. Like even my husband, I just remember he was like, that was a million times better. He's like, there's no paperwork. There's no, like, bureaucracy. Like, he's like, you just here. Like, we don't have to go anywhere. We don't have to ask anything, you know. And it was just so chill. I spent probably the next 12 hours on the couch before my husband and my doula. Then she came after her half marathon. She came and she visited us and brought food and everything. And she felt so bad that she missed it. But, you know, it's life. It's what happens. Helped me get upstairs to our bed. And it was just, it was so, so nice just to be able to sleep in your bed, you know, and not eat hospital food, and we could sleep on
that glorious applesauce.
Yeah, I could eat when I was in labor. That was the other thing. Yeah, I could eat things, and it was just such a all around a better experience that we were like, okay, when we do this again, this is what we're going to do.
Yeah.
So then, like I said, 9 days later, we moved to Texas, which was an interesting in and of itself, you know. Starting over with small kids is never an easy thing, but we liked it. We enjoyed it. It was about, probably when Gretchen hit about 18 months, we were like, okay, let's try again. Yes. Thank you, buddy. Let's try again. We knew we wanted more kids. I knew I wanted a big family. And so we started trying and trying and trying and trying, and nothing was happening. This was like 2018. Nothing was happening. I, you know, had the Ava bracelet that was big then. I was tracking my cycles and I was working out. I was being healthy, and nothing was happening. So then we were like, okay, this is kind of weird because that's not what our experience had been. Oh, thank you. Thank you, sir. So we're like, okay, what do we do now? So I talked with my birth fit coach in Texas just to kind of get some ideas because, you know, once you go home birth, I feel like you don't really want to look at anything super medicalized. You're like, okay, let's look at more. There's got to be a natural solution, you know. We'll go the medical route as the last resort kind of thing. Thank you. So we decided to, I started working with a home birth midwife in Texas. I was recommended to me. Kathy, she's great. She's fantastic. Love her. I'm sad that she, you know, we didn't have any babies with her, but that's okay. So was working with her and she was, you know, checking levels. I started seeing a functional nutritionist to check blood levels and things and hormones and things like that. And then I even saw an OB specialist who was also a birth fit professional, but she was in, you know, the Texas Women's Hospital working and whatnot and trying to track my cycle and everything. So we finally got figured out, like, my cycle was just a little off. You know, we were in Montana up north for about 2 weeks or so dealing with everything. Come home and in June, get pregnant again. but this time it was, you know, what they would classify as a chemical pregnancy. So I had a positive test and then 3 days later I started spotting and bleeding again. So I had a chemical pregnancy that time around. At this point, we were just like, what the heck? Because my blood tests were showing everything, normal, within normal ranges. There's no smoking gun. My husband got tested. Everything looked fine on his end, too. You know, there was just no definitive reason as to why this kept happening. So then we were like, okay, do we go the IVF route or the IUI? You know, maybe not full IVF, but try IUI. Because I had some friends that we knew who had done that as well in the Houston area. So then my birth fit coach then reached out to me again and she was like, hey, have you heard of Mercier therapy?
And I'm like, I have no idea what this is. What is this? And she said, it is like a reproductive treatment to help women get pregnant, but it's outside of the medical system. It's done by a trained chiropractor. And there's, you know, a supplement regimen, and it's 6 appointments. They're an hour long each. You go 1 a week, and it has an 80% success rate. And I was like, sign me up. And there's only one person, one chiropractor at that point in the entire Houston metro area who is certified in Mercier therapy. So that's the other reason it's still not very widely known. But yeah, that's what it is it's kind of a manipulation of your pelvis reproductive area, you know, essentially to make sure to break up any scar tissue, make sure everything is in its proper place, you know, restoring optimal blood flow to that area to make sure that those organs are working properly. And yeah, Dr. Megan, she's amazing. It's basically like she would like push on your uterus like 15 times. And then the rest of the appointment was like a massage of, you know, the front and the back of your pelvic region. There's a documentary about it too on Amazon. I think it's just called Mercier Therapy. So it's really interesting, but yeah, it's just physical manipulation. It's MERCIER. Yeah.
Perfect.
And it's,
I want to make sure Dr. we have notes.
Right. Dr. Mercier is the one who pioneered this. But yeah, it's done by licensed or trained chiropractors in this specific field. And they have like, there are certain levels, and because I had so many losses already, like I was on a very specific supplement regimen. I couldn't even tell you all the ones I was on, but she was, you know, it's magnesium and like a probiotic enzyme and, you know, like all of these things. So there wasn't any like prescription medication. These were all supplements, vitamin D, you know, things like that. Pretty basic, but I was on that. We ended up doing, like I said, it was 6 appointments. We ended up doing 4. Because after the 4th one, I got pregnant. So that was a surprise, but we were really excited, you know, because they're like, now while you're doing this, don't try to get pregnant. We're like, oh, so just kidding. So yeah, we ended up getting pregnant. And of course, we can't do one big life change at a time. I got these appointments done right before we were moving back to Wisconsin. Right. Like, why not?
Well, but you know, what's interesting is I wonder if they had somebody who did Mercier therapy in Wisconsin. Like, maybe this was perfect.
And that's the thing. I don't think there would be anybody up here to be able to do that. And so, yeah, because we had planned to stay in Texas. My husband graduated law school. He was going to be a lawyer in Texas. He took the Texas bar. Like, that was the plan. And then with COVID and slowing down and, you know, and us looking and being like, what are we doing? Mm-hmm. You know, my husband grew up in the Northwoods of Wisconsin, which is where we live now. And I grew up on a cattle farm in Montana. Mm-hmm. So the suburbs of Houston, although it was great and you had all these amenities, it was just not where we wanted our kids to grow up.
Right.
And with McCall starting school soon, we were like, okay, we need to get settled somewhere. So that's when we decided to make the move back north to Wisconsin. So yeah, it was probably about 2 weeks before we moved from Texas, I found out I was pregnant again. Wow. After this Mercier therapy. And so made the move, and I was like frantically looking for home birth midwives, because I'm like, we're moving from a 7 million metropolitan area to a town of 8,000 people. Like, right. I need to find a midwife if there are any. That was my other concern. I was like, oh my gosh, what if I can't have a home birth because there's nobody? Fortunately, there is one. There's one home birth midwife in all of North Central Wisconsin. And I reached out to her right away. And thankfully, she was able to take me on. So we had just moved. I had told her of my previous losses and was like, I know your office is in your home on your family's dairy farm. Like, but is there any way we can do an ultrasound? And she's like, oh yeah, we have mobile ultrasound people that come and we just have to schedule it. And I was like, okay, perfect. So I was able to get an ultrasound at 10 weeks and everything looked great. Baby was great. There was a heartbeat. That was like the biggest sigh of relief I think I had in a very long time. And we started planning for the arrival of baby number three, which is our first boy, Oliver. And he was obviously born at home. Had a doula that I had found in the area as well. She's become a really good friend. So we had the same midwife and the same doula for both the boys' births. With Oliver, it was actually, I always thought this was funny. So he was born in April. He actually just turned two last week. So April in the Northwoods, like it's supposed to snow here on Sunday. So just so you know, that is our current weather situation is we're still getting snow. So with him being born in the middle of April, I just remember I was like, I want it to be a beautiful spring day. I'm like, I just see a beautiful spring day, the windows open, me walking around outside while in labor. And coincidentally, that's exactly what happened, which is crazy because that's not normal. So I had a birth photographer when Oliver was born. He was born at 5 o'clock at night. So my contraction started like, I remember they started at like almost in the middle of the night again. And I was just like, I was in denial. I was like, this isn't happening. He was born one day before his due date. I'm like, we've got at least a whole nother week. Like, I remember I had a midwife appointment the day before and I had no signs. And I was like, it's going to be a couple days. Don't worry. Like, it'll be fine. I was just in denial the whole time. My husband had just opened his law firm. His private practice here. And so he went, and it was a Saturday. And so he went in because he was like, I'm getting my office ready. Like he had just passed the Wisconsin bar. He was getting ready to open his own practice. And he's like, is it okay if I go in for a little bit? And I'm like, yeah, it'll be fine. Like this will peter out. Like this is just going to go away. And it was about 11 o'clock and it wasn't going away. And I was like, okay, honey, maybe you should come home.
Peter out. It did not.
It did not. No, and I'm on the birthing ball and I've got one of my daughters with me and I call him and I'm like, okay, I think you need to come home. I'm going to call Katie. And I was like, can you also bring me a sandwich? Because I had not ate anything at all. I was like, I'm starving. Bring me some food. And I had been texting my midwife and I called her and I was like, hey, Katie, you know, I was sending screenshots of my contraction timer and whatnot. And she's like, well, that's looking pretty regular. She's like, well, I have to check on someone in the area. So I'll just swing by, you know? And I'm like, okay, that's fine. Like, I'm sure it's nothing. And I'm sure the whole time she's like, girl, you're going to have this kid today. Like, come on. And so set up the birth pool in our bedroom this time. We had a big enough bedroom area. And Katie came and she was like, all right, let's fill it up. Like, let's do this. And it was great because she never did any cervical checks. Katie, in two pregnancies, Katie has never checked my cervix at all for anything.
Go, Katie.
She's like, it's not going to tell me anything. Like, what's the deal? And I think I wonder if part of that comes from, because half of her clientele are the Amish. So there are several Amish communities up here and she does all of their home births. And so I'm wondering if that's just, you know, her attitude has come from that. Like, it's not necessary. You know what you're doing. you know, and she's very chill, very relaxed. Love her. And get in the pool, and it's probably, gosh, I was probably in the pool maybe like an hour and a half is all. And it was, again, about 20 minutes of pushing, 20, 30 minutes, all of my kids of pushing, which I'm very thankful for. And I remember I was pushing Oliver out. My body was doing its thing, but I just remember mentally thinking, I'm like, this is so much harder. Why is this so much harder? What is going on? Like, I couldn't understand it. And like, I felt my water break because all my water, besides the first one, my water has broken while pushing every single time. So no dramatic gush of water or anything like that in any of my labors. But I was just like, why is this so hard? I had to push to get his head out. And then there was another big push to get his shoulders out. And then another big push to get his hips out. I remember that. And he was finally born. Everything was fine. But come to find out, he was a whole pound heavier than Gretchen was. So I was like, oh, that's why. Okay.
That'll do it.
A little bit bigger. And then it was also exciting because with the girls, we had found out the gender. And then with our boys, we decided not to find out. So we didn't know if Oliver was going to be a boy or a girl. And my husband is an only child. And so he was, you know, he loves his girls, but he was really hoping for that boy. And so when Oliver was born, we have pictures, like our photographer caught like perfectly, like looking down and be like, it's a boy. And, you know, he's got his reaction and got my reaction. It was so perfect. It was such a fun surprise. And yeah, my mother-in-law was there, like not in the room, but she came in later. She was helping watch the kids. And everyone got to meet him. And it was just, like I said, it was just a beautiful, sunny spring day. It was like 5 o'clock in the afternoon. So the sun was coming into the windows and it was just, it was perfect. It was wonderful. The most perfect outcome considering everything else that had happened beforehand.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it couldn't have gone any better. Mm. And yeah, and adjusting to three kids, it was interesting to say the least. His postpartum period is probably not my favorite. I will say that. The birth was great. The postpartum period was not my favorite. Yeah. It was a bit of a struggle. But, and that brings us to this little guy here. four kids. We weren't sure if we wanted four. You know, we had our boy and we had our two girls and we were like, okay, maybe this is it. And, you know, had been nursing the whole time. And so my cycle had just come back in March of 2022. And so I wasn't even tracking, you know, because I'm like, it's once, like, okay. All right, it's, you know, 10 or is February, I don't know, it was 10 months postpartum. So yeah, it was February of 2022. My cycle came back, even that, and I was exclusively breastfeeding Oliver. And so it's like, okay, it's back. Like, I guess we'll start tracking again and, you know, figuring out which method we want to use because, you know, hormonal birth control IUDs are not our thing. So we're like, okay, you know, we'll do the natural family planning and looking into that. And then March rolls around and I was like, okay, it's a little late. Like, what's going on? So I took a test and it was negative. And I mean, this was like in the afternoon, you know, or something like that. So I was like, okay, it's negative. No big deal. I was like, I'll take one in the morning because, you know, you're supposed to take one right when you wake up. So I was like, I'll take one in the morning just to be sure. Well, two pink lines later,
the results are in.
Yes. I just remember standing in the kitchen with Oliver on my hip. Yes. It is like 6 o'clock in the morning. My husband just got a new job working as an assistant DA. For a county here. So he switched from private practice into prosecutor and had just started this new job. And so like, he's disheveled, I'm disheveled, the kids are just waking up. You know, we just flipped on the kitchen light, and I'm like looking at this, and I show it to him, and I'm like, do you see this? And he just looks at me and he's like, it's too early for this. I can't. He just like goes and gets ready for his day. I was like, what the heck? So I'm like, okay, I'm going to, then that was my last pregnancy test that I had. So I was like, okay, I'm going to go to the store. Like, we're going to go pick up some more. I picked up some more and they were all positive. So
I was they were also positive.
Yes. So we have an 11-month-old and then our two girls. And I was like, we're going to do two under two again. This is what we're doing. So Mr. Ulysses was very much a surprise. I emailed my midwife right away. I was like, hey, Katie, it's me again.
I know you remember me because it was very recent.
Yeah, wasn't even a year ago. And I was like, you have room? And she's like, absolutely, I have room to take you on again. So started that whole journey again. And it was, it took a lot. It took a little bit of time mentally for me to kind of come to grips with it. You know, like I said, I love being pregnant and I love having kids. But that postpartum period with Oliver was so hard and I had not lost any of the weight, you know, so I was struggling with that, trying to figure that out. Wasn't sleeping because he was a terrible sleeper and was very stressed out. And I had actually like just invested a lot of money in my business. So that I was like, okay, I've got all these like business plans. Like I was getting a business coach and was going to build up my shop again to where it was before having Oliver. And then I was like, oh, just kidding. I can't do that right now. I'm going to have another kid. So it took probably, I would say 3 or 4 months to be like, okay with it, I guess. Mm-hmm. Not that we didn't want it, but it was like, I had to totally reconfigure all of my thinking and all of my plans for the next year and what that was going to look like. And again, everything was great with his pregnancy, no concerns at all. I continued doing the BirthFit workout program. So continued to be active and coaching volleyball and all of that stuff. He was due December 14th. So, and then, you know, I found the Happy Home Birth Collective. So that's honestly how I found your podcast. Is I was like, I'm a big podcast person and I like to listen to a lot of podcasts. I'm not like, if you ask me what the top songs on the radio are right now, I couldn't tell you because I'd rather listen to a podcast. And I had been looking, I was like, okay, I know there's home birth podcasts out there. So that's literally what I did is I looked in the podcast directory and found the Happy Home Birth Podcast. And I want to say it was probably like the third or fourth episode of yours. I heard about the Happy Home Birth Academy. So it was like, I think it was a little bit of an older one because I was like scrolling through them. And then I heard about your collective and I was like, okay, I was like, I need to do this. I need to figure out how do I become a part of this. And I think that was like right in the middle of the first one. So I was like, okay, I have to wait for the second one. But yeah, that's how I found out about you and all of those things. So I knew I had to be a part of that, even though it was my fourth kid and my third home birth. You know, there's always more to learn and there's always more to unpack. And I think in some way I was meant to find your podcast and your collective because in order to help me heal from all of those losses and loss of my dad and not take that into Ulysses' birth like I did with Oliver's. So I'm very grateful for that.
Oh, it was such a beautiful experience from
it was
on my end.
And I, you know, learned so much. Like I said, even though it's my fourth kid, like I still learned so many things and took those into his birth. And definitely helped. So his due date was December 14th. And the only thing I could think of was like, oh my gosh, do not make this a Christmas baby. Cause I'm like, I'm gonna feel so bad for this kid because he's gonna have his birthday at Christmas. Well, and we didn't know it was a boy either. So again, we didn't find out the gender. I thought it was a girl, but my intuition is obviously terrible when it comes to that. So I thought my girls were boys. I thought my boys were girls. So it doesn't matter. Everything was great. No issues, was still active, was pretty consistent, you know, with everything else I had gone through with pregnancy. The only thing that was different this time is I had that dreaded pubic bone pain. I had never experienced that before, where your pubic bone starts to separate a little bit, was the worst. So was seeing my chiropractor twice a week, like for the last 10 weeks of my pregnancy, just to feel kind of normal. But other than that, everything was great. And my mother-in-law came out around his due date because she was like, you know, I don't want to be there too early. Little did we know, the due date came and went. Nothing happened. And then I hit 41 weeks and nothing happened. And we were still waiting and still waiting. And then, you know, people were like, it's going to be a Christmas baby. And I'm like, oh my gosh. For me, I could not fathom going that long because all of my kids were progressively sooner, it seemed. They kept getting sooner and sooner from their due date. So I was like, he's going to be here 2 days before his due date. Yeah, no, didn't happen. We woke up on Christmas Day and I was still pregnant. We did the presents, you know, we had breakfast, we all had matching pajamas on. I was low key crabby because I'm like, I'm still pregnant. I was like, this is going to be forever. This kid is never coming, is what it felt like. I was 41 and 4 days. And it wasn't until about 4 o'clock on Christmas night, I started to feel something, some things. You know, you have false labor, and it's very much higher on the abdomen. And I had a little bit of that. And I feel like if you've had kids before, you don't really remember how it feels until it happens again. And you feel that deep pressure and you're like, oh yeah, that's what it feels like. That's it. That's real. And so that happened about 4 o'clock. My mother-in-law had been making Christmas dinner. I was sitting on the couch with the girls reading some stories. And then I was just like, this is uncomfortable, you know, just noticing this. And I didn't want to tell my mother-in-law. Love her to death, but she can get very excitable, I guess, or, you know, and so I was like, okay, I'm not going to tell her, like, we're just going to low key. So I like took my husband off to the side and I had started, my contraction timer just to see, you know, what was going, if there was any consistency going on. And I had shown him and I was like, okay, I think something's happening. And he's like, good, don't tell my mom. I'm like, I know I'm not going to, you know, so having contractions all through Christmas dinner, very uncomfortable in the chair. And after we ate and stuff, I was like, okay, I'm going to take a shower and at least, you know, relax a little bit and see what happens. And I took a shower and, you know, they were getting pretty close. So, and I was texting my midwife, texting my birth photographer and my doula, all the same three people who had been there for Oliver's birth, texting them for Ulysses' birth. And I felt bad though, because I was like, it's Christmas. Like, I'm taking them away from their families. And they were actually like, no, it was perfect because we got to have Christmas morning. We got to eat dinner. And then we didn't have to clean up. We just had to say, hey, sorry, baby's coming. We got to go. So that was kind of funny. And so they all get here. We get the pool set up. And we're just kind of hanging out. And I'm just kind of moving. You know, it's probably like 7 o'clock at this point. So it's dark out, so I can't be walking around outside like I did with Oliver. And my husband's like, okay, you need to put Oliver to bed. Well, Oliver nurses to sleep. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, I got to mentally prepare for this again. So I nurse him to sleep and things kick up really, really quickly at that point. So it's about 8 o'clock by the time I get him down to bed, and, you know, things are changing. I'm making deeper noises and I can't talk through my contractions anymore. So Katie's like, okay, you can get in the tub. She's like, it's time now. And the whole time I had one of my AirPods in, and I was listening to your like relaxation recordings for like pre-labor or all the different stages of labor. And I remember I just kept listening to the active labor one. Like that was the one that was like on repeat. And every time it would end, I would like motion to my husband and he would like start it over on my phone. So I had that in my head, in my ear. And again, I'm in the tub, I'm over the edge, like kneeling, and he's holding on, you know, rubbing my shoulders and rubbing my back and whatnot, and I'm breathing through it. And I hold on to him through each contraction. And I never felt my water break this time. Katie told me, but she didn't tell me until later on. And the whole time I was thinking, I was like, why has my water not broken yet? But it actually did. So hindsight, I wish she would have said something, but that's okay. But it was difficult. It was very difficult. Again, I was like, okay, this is harder than what I remember. Pushing and pushing. And she's like, okay, here comes his head, you know, or the baby's head. Cause again, we didn't know the gender, and he crowns, head is out, and then nothing is happening. Like I'm still pushing. I'm bearing down very, very hard. But nothing is happening. This is the one time out of two pregnancies that I ever heard Katie, her voice get a little serious. You know, she's very lighthearted, you know, go with the flow, like super ethereal kind of voice. And this is the one time she was like, okay, Shyla, I need you to get out of the pool. Mm-hmm. And so then I didn't freak out. I had listened to enough podcasts, you know, yours, the Birthing Instincts podcast, Down to Birth podcast, had heard various stories about things, you know, so mentally I was just like, okay, something not wrong, but I was like, okay, something's different. But I never, so I made that rational connection, but I never was worried, I guess. And so my husband had to help me out of the pool. Cause again, I'm in the middle of pushing and now I have to move. Like
what you have is a head out of you.
Yes, there is a head out of my body and now I have to move. And so what we realized, or what Katie realized, is that he was stuck. He had a shoulder dystocia. And so she was like, okay, we need to move. So, you know, my husband, he like lifts me up. I get one leg out of the pool and then another contraction comes. So I'm like squatting, straddling the birthing pool, like pushing. She's like, okay, try to push now. Push, nothing happens. She's like, okay, we need to get you on your hands and knees. So I'm out of the birthing pool. I'm on my hands and knees. Another contraction comes. I try pushing. Nothing happens. So then she's like, okay, now we need to flip you onto your back. And her midwife assistant and my doula was there too. So they helped me onto my back and she was up in there. I know that for sure. I could feel that. And finally through being on my back and whatever she was doing, was able to get his shoulder unstuck. And then he was born right onto my chest. And that was probably the best feeling in the world. Again, I wasn't freaked out or, you know, concerned or worried or anything. I was just happy, you know, it's like that rush of emotions, like, okay, it's over. He's here. It's done. Baby is here. Put him on my chest. But that's the only complication, I guess, if you want to classify it as that, that we had dealt with. I guess later on, as my midwife was doing notes and she was outside of our room and I was in bed with him, My husband was out there too, and he's like, got a little scary there for a sec, didn't it? That was the only emotion he had. Like, he's very stoic and very calm under pressure, but that was the only time that he was like, okay, that was not very fun, you know, to experience.
Yeah, but everything was really beautifully, it sounds like.
Yes. Yeah, he did great. And that's how he had been, and that's his personality, thankfully. But yeah, I think that one scared him a little bit. Mm-hmm. that little hiccup there. But it was great. We got to my bed, you know, got to the bed right away, birthed the placenta, no problem. And we had our nice golden hour together, you know, just him all over me and whatnot. And we were very excited to have another boy. So it's like, okay, now we got two and two. This is great. And then Katie was just like, she's like, I can't wait to see how big he is. I'm like, oh, you really think he's that big? And she's like, yes, I really do. And I was like, oh, okay. You know, not even thinking. I was like, okay, maybe like a 9-pound baby. You know, I was like, he's a little bit heavier. It was a little bit harder than Oliver, you know, obviously more heavier than the girls who are both 7-something. So I was like, oh yeah, I bet he's, you know, 9.5 pounds, something like that. So when they finally weighed him, we found out he was 10 pounds, 12 ounces. So if anyone says you can't have big babies at home, you definitely can. But he was by far the biggest baby I have ever had. I don't know where that came from either, because nobody in my family has had 10-pound babies.
Except for you now.
Right? I know, except for me now. But he was perfect, and he was our little Christmas baby. He was born at 10:25 on Christmas evening. So I think we're going to count this next Christmas as his first Christmas.
There you go.
You didn't get to experience, you know, the tree and the presents and whatnot, because then we spent the next 10 days just in our room. So I was so thankful that my mother-in-law was here, because that was something that we, you know, had gone over so much in the Home Birth Collective, is really lying in as much as you can. And you know, because he was 11 days past his due date, that was 11 less days that I had that support. Mm-hmm. But I did get 10 days of just in our room and in bed with him. So I think that was so crucial. And now he is a very large 4-month-old.
So sweet.
And just thriving. And now he is asleep.
Oh, wow, Shyla. I love the just everything that your story brings, you know, the changes that you made, and then also that struggle with secondary infertility? Is that what it's called?
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yeah. Secondary infertility. And the fact that you have a resource that we get to share about that is so cool.
Yes. And what's actually a little side note about the Mercier therapy. So we had some friends buy our house in Texas. So we know who bought our house, and we're still friends with them. And they have had a lot of fertility struggles. Like, they had their first through IUI, and then they wanted more, and we're doing the IUI route. So you can do the Mercier therapy in conjunction with other fertility treatments. And so I had recommended to her, I was like, hey, check this out. I actually gifted her my last two appointments that I had paid for, because I never got to use them. And I'm like, I'm not going to be flying back to Texas, you know, to use these. So I gifted her two of our appointments. So she did the whole Mercier therapy, and she actually had twins 3 weeks after Ulysses was born.
Oh, wow.
So that's yeah, amazing. So that was kind of a cool thing, but aww. Yeah, definitely spread the word about that.
Yeah, that's
it huge. Works.
Oh, Shyla, it has been such a joy to get to hear your stories beginning to end. And there's just so much to glean from them. I cannot thank you enough. It has been such a pleasure to have you on the Happy Home Birth Podcast.
Thank you for having me. It's been so much fun, and good to see you again.
What an incredible journey Shyla has been on. As we head into this week's episode roundup, I want to focus on the hope and joy that came alongside the pain of Shyla's struggle with secondary infertility. She did not give up on her dream of more children. She continued to learn and search, and she found such an amazing resource. There was so much pain in the losses she experienced, both of her babies and her father, but there was a rainbow indeed. And even more so, I love that Shyla continued to focus on her emotional healing after her third birth. When she became unexpectedly pregnant with Ulysses, baby number 4, she knew she needed to take her mental and emotional preparation seriously, and that is exactly what she did inside of the Home Birth Collective. She didn't have to bring her hurt and sadness of her previous experiences into her birth, and that made all the difference. Okay, my friends, that's all I've got for you for today. I'll see you back here next week.
Thanks for listening to this week's episode. Are you looking to extend the home birth support, encouragement, and education? Join us in our Facebook group, Happy Home Birth Podcast Community, and check us out on Instagram at Happy Home Birth Podcast.